We're talking about creating an atmosphere for the miraculous. We're talking about creating an atmosphere for the divine intervention of God. Could you use some divine intervention in your life? I said, could you use some divine intervention in your life? And so we're looking at different components that are necessary. We've talked about compassion. And so we want you to receive the goodness of God. We want you to receive the love of God. But also we want you to use what's on the inside of you to help create an atmosphere. So the Lord's mercies are new every morning, right? He's good to all. Are you part of that all? Amen. And so the Lord's goodness is shown to you, but also then the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. So you have the love of God you're receiving, but also you have this on the inside of you, this love that can create an atmosphere for the divine intervention of God. And then we talked about obedience. Look at your neighbor and say, just do it. Just do it. Nike stole that from the Lord. Just do it. Hallelujah. Just do it. So remember what Mama Mary said. She said to the future apostles, whatever he says, what? Do it. Just do it, right? And so obedience is a key for you to receiving a miracle. Remember the man with the withered hand? The Lord said, stretch forth your hand, but he couldn't stretch forth his hand. But when you do what you can't do, then God can do what he can do. If you'll begin to do what you can't do, God will do what he does and his power comes. But also just in the arena of creating the atmosphere, when we're a people who do the word of God, when we're a people of obedience, when we're a people who follow the Holy Ghost, just like what happened right now, when we follow the Holy Ghost together, it creates an atmosphere for God to move in. It creates an atmosphere for God to move in. So it's not just about us. It's about creating the atmosphere or giving God the elements that he needs to come and move in a group of people. And then last week we talked about changing the atmosphere. How many of you know that when you have an atmosphere of expectancy, are y'all expecting? When a woman's expecting a baby, when she gets... I heard someone say this, I can't ever get out. Heavy with child. I don't know if that's even nice. But she's ready to go. How many of you know she's expecting, and so she's prepared a room. They call it nesting. But I'm telling you, in the realm of the Spirit, you can prepare a place for God to move. You can be expectant. And then on the other hand, the atmosphere is important. Remember when Jesus, when he went to Jairus' house, they were weeping. And he said, you know, don't be distressed, y'all. She's just asleep. And they laughed him to scorn. Well, he put them all out. In other words, he had to change the atmosphere of unbelief to one of faith. He kicked him out. Peter did it too with Dorcas. So we got to change the atmosphere. Amen. And how do you do that? Well, change the atmosphere with words of faith, with words of worship. God inhabits the praises of his people. And so today we're going to talk about a main element. We're going to talk about something that you and I talk about a lot around here. But we're going to talk about the element of faith. We're going to talk about one of the main ingredients that God needs in order to be able to move in our own personal lives and in a group setting. And so I want to talk to you about individual faith first. Because if I can get you to believe for yourself, if I can get you to receive all the promises of God that are yes and amen, then it will change your life. You know, there's three elements you need to know. Faith comes by, right? And hearing by the, so it's not what you have heard, it's what you're hearing. So faith comes by hearing. Faith is released by saying. Faith is released by saying. And then number three, faith is activated by doing. Faith is released by saying. Romans 10, 9 and 10. You believe in your heart, but you got to say with your mouth. So faith comes by hearing. Faith is released by saying. And faith is activated or it's energized by doing. James chapter 2, verse 6 says faith without corresponding actions is what? Dead on arrival. So faith can come, but if you don't speak it, if you don't act upon it, it's dead. Amen? And so we all need to do that. Now, individually, you and I have a relationship with the Lord. And if you can learn to walk and receive things by faith, then you can have all the promises of God that are yes and amen. I love the woman with the issue of blood. I think she's a very perfect example of how I like to teach people, what the Word teaches people, what the Word shows us about walking in faith individually. Here was a woman. She was sick, spent all her money on doctors, but she didn't get any better. She only grew worse. One day, she heard of Jesus. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. This woman heard something particular. How do I know what she heard? Because her faith was released this way. She must have heard that if you can touch him, you can get healed. She heard, if you can touch him, you can get healed. So what did she set about to do? Well, this is what I know what she believed. Because the Bible said she said within herself, she said, if I can touch him, I'll be made whole. If I can touch him, I'll be made whole. And then, so she heard something. She obviously believed something because she began to say something. And because she began to believe something and say something, she did something. She heard something. What? If you touch him, you can get healed. She began to believe something because she began to say something. And as she began to say something, she decided to do something. And as she went, she heard that Jesus was nearby, so she didn't have a big announcement. There was no trumpet. She went in secretly because she had an issue of blood. She wasn't even supposed to be out among the people. She went out and she began to go through the crowd. And then what happened? She did what she said she was going to do. She got close enough, whether she was crawling through the crowd, I don't know, but she touched him. And then Jesus whirled about and said, who touched me? Right? And then his apostles, being as bright as they are sometimes, said, everybody's, that's us too, who, everybody's touching you, Lord. But what happened? Everybody was trying to get something. But only one woman got something. Because they all were trying to get it. They heard the same thing too, but they weren't believing. They were trying. She believed something. She said something, and she did something. And as soon as she touched him, power or virtue went out of him. And Jesus whirled about and said, because he knows the difference. He's like, well, look here. Somebody finally got something. Because the rest of them are touching him, trying to get something, but getting nothing. Who touched me? She came, told him everything, and he said this to her, woman, my power has made you whole. Is that what happened? He said, woman, your faith. So, see, a lot of times people just want with the power in a room. We're going to look at this later, but just because the power is in the room doesn't mean you're going to get anything. You have to receive. So that's how you get it on your own. Can you all get it on your own? Are we all working that direction? Amen. Is it important? It is important. And so, you know, a lot of times people say to me, well, it's just easier to believe for somebody else. I get that. And what you're saying is, well, I don't have to feel anything. I don't have to deal with the checkbook. I don't have to deal with symptoms. I don't have to deal with what's going on. I'm just going to use my faith. But I'll tell you this. It's important for you to know how to believe for yourself first. Because that's how we know your faith works. Does your faith work? Does your faith, that's a little weak. Does your faith work? Yes. Amen. And so that's a good pattern right there. But because I'm talking about, I want you to receive the divine intervention of God, like this woman with the issue of blood did. And then beyond that, though, I want to kind of push your tent stakes out a little further. And so I want to remind you of some things the Word of God said about how you can believe for others around you. And so let's look at some of these things. I enjoy looking at this. Let's start with, how many know you can believe for your children? And there's just two good examples. There's others, but there's just two good examples. Anybody remember the Syrophoenician woman? The Syrophoenician woman was a woman who was not of the covenant of Israel, but her daughter had an unclean spirit. And I always say it like this, you don't get an unclean spirit by walking through Walmart. You don't wake up with an unclean spirit one day. In other words, her daughter was dabbling in stuff that she ought not be messing with. And she ended up getting possessed with a demon, okay? And so now this Syrophoenician woman seeks Jesus out, and she comes and she says, you know, son of David, have mercy on me. And she's crying after him. And he said to her, I'm not sent to you. Well, how many of you know that'd make a lot of people mad right there? Well, I came to get some help from you, and you say you can't help me. And how many of you know that's really what he was saying in the way you're coming? This is what I want you to understand about faith. The Holy Ghost is the teacher on the inside of you. And Jesus was showing us that sometimes he's got to reposition you. Amen. so that you can receive from him. He's all about everybody receiving from him, but sometimes you got to be repositioned. This woman was about to go through a great repositioning. She had heard of Jesus, that if people would call on the name of the Jesus, Son of David, that he would heal them. But she was not in the same covenant as they were. She didn't have a covenant. So he said, I'm not sent to you, but I'm sent to the lost house of Israel, the sheep of Israel. And then she said, well, help me, Lord. Come on, everybody say, help me, Jesus. It's a good prayer sometimes. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Teachable people are people who receive. People who think they already got it already know we're in trouble when we get there. Help me, Lord. And so he said, well, healing is the children's bread. And it's not for the dogs. What? Jesus just called her a dog? Yeah. Now, how many know what would we call that today? It's a lawsuit waiting to happen, right? You can't call me that. A public figure calling somebody a dog. What was that doing? That was kind of slapping her in the face a little bit. But again, it was part of the repositioning. Now, this is a phenomenal thing. We're talking about having faith to not just receive for yourself, but she had a daughter that was in deep trouble. And the Lord was repositioning. He wanted to help that daughter. It didn't matter to him that the daughter did that to herself. He was wanting to help that girl. And so he was repositioning Mama because she came. And he said, healing is the children's bread. It doesn't belong to the dogs. And she said, yeah, but even the little puppies eat crumbs that fall from the master's table. And what happened was Jesus said, woohoo, looky here. We got some faith. And then he said, what? So you've got great faith, and her daughter was healed. And the mom was there, but her daughter was at home. And the Bible says that unclean spirit left her, and she found her laying in a bed. Why? Because mom refused to give up. Because mom was willing to go through a repositioning and to receive. Now, you and I are part of a covenant. But sometimes, even in our faith, if we're doing something, Lord, help me. Lord, move me, because I want to be able to use my faith to help those around me, especially those that are closest around me. Then we talked about Jairus. You remember Jairus? He had heard something. He heard something, the Bible says. And so he decided to go get Jesus, and he said this: if you'll come, lay your hands on my daughter, she'll be healed and she'll live. If you'll come, lay your hands on my... What did he hear? He heard that if you can get Jesus to lay hands on you, the laying on of hands, that what's going to happen? You can get healed and everything's going to be all right. He released his faith in the Lord laying hands on her. So, you know, he went to find Jesus. He found him. He said that. And then here comes the woman with the issue of blood. And he's got to wait. And as she's telling him everything that went on, telling him about all her doctor visits, all that kind of stuff, then suddenly a man from Jairus' house comes and says, don't trouble the master any further. Your daughter is now dead. Jesus is about to reposition him. Because to a lot of people, that means it's over. But in this case, Jairus had believed something. Jairus had said something and already started something in motion. It was like the fig tree. He had already said something. He'd already believed something. He'd already acted on something. And so Jesus, ignoring the bad report, because how many of you know, to a parent, when you hear your child is dead, that's over and it's time to hit the ground and weep. It's awful. But Jesus, ignoring that, really kind of grabbed Jairus and said, listen, look at me. Be not afraid. Only believe. And I remember I used to preach that for years. And one time I was preaching it and the Lord said, only believe what, Mark? Well, tell me. Only believe what? Believe what you already said. Believe what he said. What did he say? He said, if you come to my house, was Jesus on the way? He was on the way. Time is irrelevant. What the new happening is irrelevant. The new circumstance is irrelevant because of what Jairus had already believed. You see, if we can get to this place, we can help those around us, especially our children. Listen, so what he said? He said, be not afraid, only believe. Why? Because if you're afraid, it's going to be over. But just believe what? Believe what you already said. And so what happened? Then Jairus went to his house, kicked the unbelief out of the room. Amen. And what happened? Jairus got what he said. Jesus laid hands on her, grabbed her by the hand, same as laying hands on her. And she was healed, and she came back to life because of what Jairus said. What did Jairus say? What are you saying? What are you saying? You saying my child's a numbskull? Or are you saying my child is a disciple of the Lord with great peace and undisturbed composure? Are you saying they're going to walk away from God? They're walking away from God. Or are you saying I have taught them in the right way and they will never leave? What are you saying about it? What are you saying about them? Sometimes it's just like to beat the... No, what are you saying about them? What are you saying about them? Say what the Lord says about them. Say what you said about them when they were cute and in your arms like this. Oh, baby, you're going to grow up and be great. Not, dear God, what happened to you? I'm helping somebody this morning in this room. I'm helping somebody this morning in this room. Your tongue is life or death over your teenager, over your young adult right now. You say what God says about it and nothing else. Amen. Because you already said something a long time ago, and just because the circumstances look different, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. It'll be just like you said. What did Jairus say? He said, you lay hands on her, she'll be healed, and she shall live. And that's just the way it's going to be. I mean, the other things that happened, let's talk about the centurion. Talking about taking our stakes out a little bit. Thank God we're learning how to believe and receive for ourselves. But then let's take the stakes out a little further and realize that you can influence and believe for people around you. There was a centurion who had a servant, and obviously he was very close to. And he went to seek Jesus. He sent somebody. He said, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but I am a man under authority. He didn't say I'm a man of authority. He said, I'm a man under authority. In other words, I've been watching you, Jesus, and I've been hearing some things about you, and I realize you're under somebody. And I realize that because you understand you're under somebody, whoever you're under, I get that whatever you say, he's going to do. So I'm a man under authority just like you. And I speak to this one and he goes. And I say to this one, come, and he comes. And so I get it. So I just need you to speak a word and it'll be done. And Jesus said, wow, that's great faith. And how many know his servant was healed? So it doesn't matter where you release your faith as long as you release it. It doesn't matter if it's releasing and laying on of hands. It doesn't matter if it's speaking the word only. Just what matters is that you have a place of faith that you can release for other people, and the Spirit of God will position you so you can help those around you. We want to help people around us, right? We want to help people around us. And there's other great things sometimes people come as a group. How about the 10 lepers? You remember them? The 10 lepers, they had a leprosy, and it was eaten away at them. One day, Jesus walked by. There was 9 Israelites, 1 Samaritan. And what happened was that they said, Son of David, have mercy on us. And he said, all right, y'all go your way and show yourself to the priest. And that's what they did. And as they went, they were healed. But one, the Samaritan, turned around, threw himself at Jesus' feet and said, thank you. Y'all remember that? He said, thank you. And I want to tell you this, that sometimes when you're believing for people, there's levels and degrees of what they receive and how they receive. Not up to you, but you and I are making things available in the realm of the Spirit. And so as a group, I've watched this in big meetings sometimes. People with a group that have a similar sickness or disease, they'll all get healed. But they've even watched that they get healed at varying degrees based on their faith or their gratitude. And so this one, he turns around and drops at Jesus' feet and says, thank you. And then what happens? Jesus said, you know, were there not 10 healed, where are the 9? I mean, were there not 9 others healed, where'd they go? Well, they went to, and how many of you know it's good to be healed of leprosy and leprosy being gone? But leprosy, you know, eats away at the extremities. It eats away at the nose, at the ears, at the fingers, at the toes. So this is what I know because of how the word says it. This man who is now free of leprosy drops at the feet of Jesus and says, thank you. Everybody say, thank you.
Thank you.
It's just good to say thank you. And it's good to be having a heart of gratitude. What are you doing when you do that? Worship is creating an air in the atmosphere for divine intervention of God. So as he's thanking God, there's a divine intervention about to happen because Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. And this is what I believe and this is what I know. I know that that man got up and if he was missing a nose, it popped out. If he was missing some fingers, it popped out. Because there was a distinction between the ninth, the other nine and this tenth one. And so because that's in the Word of God, I know because your faith has made you whole. You wouldn't be whole if you were missing a nose. You wouldn't be whole if you were missing a pinky. I believe he was made every bit whole. Amen. Amen. What put him in that position? Well, the position came with they were all as a group that came. But even within the group, you can receive different levels from the Lord. I mean, here is so many things we're talking about, stretching out a little bit, for just not us, but getting out into a place where it's kind of a corporate thing where things are happening. I always like to talk about the four crazy friends. Y'all got four crazy friends? If you don't got four crazy friends, be a crazy friend and you'll get four crazy friends. You might get 20 crazy friends, but you need 20 divine crazy friends who are willing to jump out with you on the Word of God. So here this man was, he was confined to a cot, confined to a bed. Jesus was off preaching at a house, and the Bible says at that house, the power of the Lord was present to heal. In other words, so he must have been teaching on healing, teaching on the kingdom of God, teaching on healing, probably maybe taking what we have from Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. The power of God was in the room, but nobody was getting healed. So these four had decided to come. Now these four had to be close. These five guys had to be close. Because how many of you know the one on the cot had to agree to come? I don't know where they came from. So the four are carrying him, but the one on the cot had to agree to come. So they get to the house, and maybe they even sense the power of God's in there because they came ready to receive. But they can't get in. The house is full. The power of God's there, but nothing's going on. And so then they decide, I don't know if one of them was a carpenter and put roofs on, but somebody decided to take a roof off. There's something about corporately together, working together, that the Lord can help you and inspire you. But I ever told anybody here, if anybody ever takes a roof off here, it better be God. And so they lower, how many of you know that if you're lowering somebody down, I don't care how high it is, if you're lowering somebody down on a cot, if you don't know what you're doing, dude is going to be face down on the ground, right? And so as they lower them down, then I want you to see this. Jesus saw their faith. Everybody say, he saw their faith. Corporately, he saw their faith because corresponding actions are a result of faith. And so he saw their faith. And so then he said to the man, your sins be forgiven you. And I really believe he did that just to irritate everybody in the room. Because he was in there preaching the power of God was there and nobody was getting healed. Because these were the doctors of the law. They came to check him out. They didn't come to receive. They came to check him out. And nobody was receiving anything. And so after he made him mad, then he said, well, what's easier to say? Arise, you're healed. And so the man arose and he was healed. My point is this, that there's all kinds of things. You know, use the woman with the issue of blood. You need to receive. But then we can take our faith and begin to help those around us that we love. Especially, see, it's those you have authority in their life, or especially your children, especially if they live under your roof. There's something about this authority, this closeness, or you as a group of friends who are strong together in the realm of the Spirit. It's really important that you have somebody. One of the things I like about the shield of faith is I teach on the shield of faith in Ephesians. If you study that out, Paul was really having a revelation. I believe he was looking at a Roman soldier who was guarding him. And so what happened was the Lord then began to reveal some things to him about how it's like our spiritual armor. And we talk about the shield of faith. One of the things about that shield as a Roman soldier is they could connect them. In other words, if you've ever seen a picture, they get all these shields together. They literally are connected. They're not just standing by one another. They're connected. Or if you've ever seen them seen something where they take a Roman soldier, takes a dignitary from one place to the other, they encircle him with their shields, and they also put a shield over his head so the fiery darts of the enemy cannot get to him or her. There's something about you and I in together, using our faith, keeping people protected that we love, that we have influence, that we have authority in, and we have scriptural examples of that it can be done, and we should do it. We should be there for one another. We should help one. The Bible says, woe to him who is alone when he falls down. We need each other. We need you, and you need us. We need each other. We need each other. And when we can combine and attach our shields of faith, I mean, great things can happen. Amen? It's so important in seeing that you understand that you can create an atmosphere of faith. And so let's take it. So we got us. Then we move our tent out a little bit, and it incorporates our family and our friends. But I want to challenge you to move your stakes out even further. I want to challenge you that when we get together, or a group of people get together, that maybe somebody can walk through the doors, and because we've learned to create an atmosphere where the divine intervention of God can come, because we've learned to create an atmosphere of faith. And so I want to remind you of some things. What do I know that in a corporate setting, if I can get a group of people to understand this in the right now, if I can get a people to understand the name of Jesus? It's like the man at the gate called beautiful. In Acts 3:16, it said that faith in the name of Jesus has made this man stand before you whole. And the name, through faith in his name, has made this man stand before you whole. Acts chapter 4, verse 10 says, by the name of Jesus does this man stand before you whole. So if I can get a group of people to really have understanding of the name of Jesus, everybody say Jesus. If I can get you to talk about Jesus, if I can get you to sing about Jesus, if I can get you to lift up your hands and worship Jesus, if I can get you to understand that there's power in that name. When you speak that name, heaven stands at attention. When you speak that name, hell runs as in terror. When you speak that name, sickness and disease has to go. I'm telling you, when you speak that name at any mountain, the Bible says it has to be removed. There is something about the name of Jesus. And if I can get a group of people to believe in that name, to speak that name, to worship that name, to honor that name. That name's either a cornerstone or a stumbling stone. That name is above every name, and at the name of Jesus, everything has to bow in heaven and in earth. There is something about the name of Jesus. You notice people don't get irritated when you say, God bless you. But if you'd ever say, have a good day in Jesus, you'd get a couple looks. Because he's either their cornerstone or he's their stumbling stone. That name offends some people, but it makes the rest of us really happy. There's no other name given in heaven and earth whereby men can be saved. He is the way, the truth, the life. No man gets to the Father but through him. There is something about that name. And if you'll come in with that name on your lips, if you'll speak much of that name, if you'll believe in that name, and if you'll speak to things in the name of Jesus, just like the man at the gate called beautiful, things will change. A divine interruption in the natural, ordinary course of things because of the name of Jesus. 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 Something about that name. Hallelujah. You know, I was thinking about this. I wrote this down last night, because if I hadn't written it down, I probably wouldn't have said it. I was thinking about, and the Lord challenged me, because I want to be a church of this kind. You remember when Jesus went to Jairus' house, and Peter went to raise Dorcas up? The Lord he said it like this. He said, would your people be invited in or asked to leave? Would you be invited into the room, or would you be asked to leave the room? Because see, I wish we all wouldn't get so sober about that, because I'd rather go, yeah, he'd invite me in. Would he invite you in? First service got quiet. You got way too quiet. I know it's kind of a somber thought. I didn't think it'd be a somber thought, but would I get invited in or would I get asked to leave? Come on, we're going to get invited in. Because we know how to walk by faith. We know how to speak the word. We know how to create an atmosphere. But would you get asked to come in or would you get asked to leave? Well, here at church, I'm asking you to come in. And I believe that we can get that way. Because see, the Lord is depending on you. The Lord needs you. The Lord believes in you just like you believe in him. And you are people of faith. And don't let anybody talk you out of it. Because see, if you went and you've been walking with the Lord and you know the Lord and you know how to believe, you say, well, I probably would. I mean, no, I probably wouldn't get asked in. Quit that. If there's any reason you know you shouldn't get asked in, then change, because you won't get asked in the room. Because we're going to change some things. Because there's some people that are going to come in who are going to need you to be full of faith. Whether you do anything or not, whether you're the one that lays hands on them or not. Because we do everything decently in order and around here. But I'm telling you, you just being here brings a supply of the Spirit, because you know how to believe. You know how to walk with God. You know how to speak the word. Amen. You know how to worship. You know how to fill the atmosphere. Amen. You know the name of Jesus. Glory to God. So what creates the atmosphere? Well, we're believing. You come to church believing. You come to whatever thing, you go believing. Understand that words out of your mouth, scriptures that come out of your mouth, worship, unity, actions of faith, those very same principles create an atmosphere when we're together that cause people to be able to receive from the Lord. I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 2. This scripture, I'm not going to have much time to talk about it, but I do want to read it. It seemed very important. Because it's where our church is at. It's where our church is at. It's a scripture the Lord dealt with me, us, the last time Pastor Ron and I were away praying. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. Apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. And fear and reverence came upon every soul. Many wonders. What? Divine interventions of God. Signs and wonders were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. Unity. Sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men. And every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord. Unity again. Breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Praising God. Having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. I really believe. I didn't tell the first group this. But our connect groups. They are for you to have fun. But it's also for you a place to invite somebody who doesn't go to church. It's a place for you to bring someone who's not having fellowship. And that fellowship door will open them to doctrine and prayer. And it'll cause them to receive from the Lord. So it's all important. So it's all important. It's interesting how fellowship, the koinonia, can bring people into a place where they can receive from the Lord. So I invite you to be a part of that. But in that, you wouldn't think that while you're bowling, somebody could receive from the Lord, but they can. You wouldn't think by walking a dog that somebody might get something from Jesus, but they can. I mean, it's that fellowship and bringing people in that will cause people to understand and be able to receive doctrine and be able to receive the divine intervention of God. And so I just throw in some of these things out, but the truth is there's something about the atmosphere that God needs. He needs compassion, and he put that in our heart. So he needs us to obey. He needs us to be expectant. He needs us to know to be able to know how to change the atmosphere. And he needs us to not only walk in faith for ourselves, but be able to walk in faith and believe for others, and then even believe for people we don't even know and create an atmosphere of faith. God moves in that atmosphere. I was reminded of this, Acts chapter 12, and I want to leave you with this. Because another thing you can do to create an atmosphere for the divine intervention of God is prayer. Acts chapter 12. Verse 1. And now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. These were the days of the unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison. and delivered him to the four quaternions of Sol. Well, four quaternions. How many of you know I'm going to keep you in here? He must have even known, because he guarded him and guarded him close, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. What was the intention? He's going to kill Peter like he killed James. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer. Everybody say, but prayer. Around here, we believe in prayer. Sometimes I tell people, and I mean this, I'd rather pray than preach. I'd rather get a hold of God. I mean, there's something about praying. And if you don't enjoy it, you may not be doing it right. Because there's a place you can get in God that where you can pray out mysteries, where you can fellowship with Him, and you know you're getting things done in the realm of the Spirit. We pray here every Sunday night, and we pray Wednesdays at noon. Prayer is very important. And why is it important? Because, see, a lot of people might read this and say, well, it must have been James's time to go. And the reason Peter didn't go was because he had to write something in the Bible. But that's absolutely not the truth. It sounds very religious. The truth of the matter is, if they had not prayed, Peter would have had his head cut off just like James. It's unfortunate for James, they didn't understand or they didn't know. But the reason this is in the Bible is to tell you and I that we can create an atmosphere for God to move in. They created such an atmosphere through their prayer that God was able to send an angel, because angels do what? They hearken to the voice of the Word of God. The voice that you and I give to the Word, the voice you and I give, angels come at the direction of the Lord, but they got to have the Word. And so the word came forth, obviously, through their gathering together in prayer. And this was all new for them. This was all new for them because I don't know if they just got this together and decided to try this, or they were led by the Holy Ghost. But whatever happened, they prayed. God was able to intervene. We're talking about divine intervention of the God kind. Thank God you can get it for yourself. Thank God for those around you that you care about. But how about let's get it for people we don't even know about? Or let's come together. I love praying together. Around here at church, we've had some times where individuals, some things are going, and we've corporately prayed together, and we've seen God rearrange some things and just some glorious things happening. I know that some people say, well, if you get 1,000 people praying, nothing's going to change. Well, if you get 1,000 people praying who don't know what they're doing, nothing's going to change. But if I can get 1,000 people together who know what they're doing praying, I can get everything to change. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. The truth of the matter is, what does that mean anyway? The truth of the matter is, our prayers can really make, the Bible says they make tremendous power available, dynamic in their working. You want to create an atmosphere for miracles? Then we have to be a church of prayer. You have to have a life of prayer. And when you come in on Sunday morning, even if you need something, come in expecting for somebody else to receive something. Whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. I'm telling you, come in, even if you need something. Lord, I'm going to get mine today, but I pray for those people I don't know today that they need something. Lord, if you have to rearrange a whole service to get them what they need, I pray that you're going to do that. If someone needs healed, someone needs touched in their body, someone doesn't even know you, Jesus, that walks through that door, somebody who's walked away, I pray, Father God, and you come in ready, speak in the name of Jesus, and you prayed for them, then God is going to send some divine interruption to help them. Amen. And guess what? Everywhere you go, you're a believer. Are you ready for God to use you to divinely interrupt your life? Maybe to speak into somebody else's life? You know, I found this. There's very few people who will turn down prayer. Very few. You see somebody, can I pray for you? Most people are not going to say no. So when you pray, use the word of God and expect something to happen. I think I've only had one person ever when I've asked them, they didn't even know, I'm not saying, hey, I'm Pastor Mark, I want to pray for you. I mean, just, I want to pray for you. I think I've only had one person tell me no. People will receive, but in your prayer, be powerful, be scriptural, and be expectant. And I believe God's going to move. We can change the atmosphere by our faith. So believe for yourself. Stretch it out. Believe for your family. Stretch it out again. Believe for the atmosphere everywhere you go, things to be different so that God can divinely intervene. Faith is a key element, a key ingredient for the miraculous. Amen. Y'all stand.